I'll just start with some of mine, and then we'll go to our listener questions. Of course, over the weekend, we did see a slight uptick, especially yesterday in hospitalizations. Were you surprised with Memorial Day weekend that that happened, or are you not too worried about it at this point?
Not too worried. I think it was a sort of a just a one-off. We're watching the trend lines, the seven-day trend lines pretty carefully.
Okay, great. And then how are we doing with casinos? We know late last week you were kind of in discussions with them trying to figure out if they were going to open on June 1st, whether or not that was happening. Where are we at this morning? Are they still looking to do a week from yesterday, I guess, to reopen?
I think they are. We've got some of our public health and economic team are going to be there today, looking at their plans in some detail. I don't think they should open June 1st, but they are a sovereign nation. And if they insist on saying, we got to make sure they do it as safely as possible.
Mm-hmm. And I know weeks ago you had put casinos, malls, ballparks kind of in the same category because, let's face it, they bring in big crowds. Also, you know, you're talking about a lot of times the vulnerable population go to some of those things. So when did malls and casinos end up in different categories? I asked that question because in speaking to Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim last week, he did not agree with malls opening up. He doesn't really agree that they should have opened up this early. Can you respond to that? Why did malls open up and how are we monitoring them?
Malls were opening up because, people are wearing masks, unlike, say, a casino where you're, able to eat and have a drink and you're in close proximity to people for a fairly long period of time. As you pointed out, it attracts a group that's significantly older, a more vulnerable population. None of that is true in the case of a mall. There are more limited capacity, less people are going back, easier to social distance, wearing the masks, and really important to getting our commerce, getting to move again.
Mm-hmm. And we're speaking to Governor Ned Lamont this morning. Now, what is the latest on, the Hartford Yard Goats? Any idea for outdoor sporting events when that's going to start up?
I haven't heard anything in the near term. I think my hunch is the Yard Goats will sort of track what's going on in Major League and Minor League Baseball, and we'll keep an eye on that. My instinct is you're going to see Major League Baseball later on this summer, probably not in front of a crowd for now.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you've mentioned that contact tracing. It's a key metric to determine more openings happening in the near future. And I know it's very early on, but is it safe to say that those numbers are looking good at this point to keep opening up, or where are we at with contact tracing?
I think we've ramped that up big time. We've got all of our local health departments involved now. That gives us hundreds of people. We have hundreds of other volunteers who are taking the lead on this. We are contact tracing now. We're uploading that, to our database and being able to share some of those contacts even across borders. If people in Westchester County, for example, are in contact with somebody who was infected here. It's very important to us containing any flare-ups that come along now.
Mm-hmm. And a question from one of our listeners actually having to do with contact tracing. And I don't know how to exactly get this number, but maybe it's more of a ballpark. Uh-huh. How many people ideally do you need for contact tracing to actually help or to make a difference? How many people would we need ballpark to feel comfortable that the metric is working?
I think we assume that our average contact tracer can handle between, say, 10 and 15 new folks a day, new people that they're calling, new people that have tested positive. And let's say each of those people, was in contact with 5 to 8 people over the previous 5 days. We that's the ballpark number we can handle. So, in other words, if we had 500 new tested positives in a day, we would need 50 contact tracers to be able to handle that number of new people. I didn't explain that very clearly, but I think you get a sense of how it spreads out.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. I appreciate that. Our next question, Governor, comes from a listener on Facebook asking about updates for dental hygienists headed back to work for cleanings. Is it possible that they stay shut down and keep collecting unemployment if they're scared to be in direct contact with patients, or is that not a possibility?
We are. We never closed down, obviously, the dentist, but they were prioritizing emergency procedures. Now they're going to be doing cavities and slightly more routine procedures. But I think, like all other parts of our economy, it's not going to open up overnight. I think people will cautiously come back. So my hunch is if you need a little more time, your employer will probably give you a little more time.
And we have a weekly segment, actually. Russ Hackman will be joining us later this morning of Hackman Wealth Partners. He gives us a lot of insight on the market and the, you know, and talking about money and investment and things like that. He's, I'm sure, like many other people, he actually does financial advising classes at Fairfield U. And I know there are many adjuncts who will do either classes on campus or just other professionals will do kind of these sit-in classes to learn. Unfortunately, he's been having to do things online, which has been okay since the pandemic started. But he had asked last week on the air, you know, if I could kind of ask you, any idea when unaffiliated campus workshops can go back into session if they're doing social distancing, if they've got smaller number of classes? Do you know when people can start going back to college campuses to teach if it's not for actual college courses, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think we've got that in phase two or two and a half, you know, after June 20. I think we've said you know, certainly graduate classes, community college, those things are a little like businesses, only in the sense that they're non-residential. You can go there. We can do that on a careful basis. So I think that's just a few weeks away being able to ramp that up.
Okay. And the other thing was somewhat similar to that. We have a driving school instructor who reached out to me asking about driving schools. She was wondering, can you be an instructor running like a class of less than 10 students, social distance, masks, limited staff? Is that a possibility to get driving schools up and running?
Yeah, I would think so. In my head here, I can't tell you how granular what our schedule was, but you can go to that DECD, that's our economic community development site, and they break out for you exactly when we think these can open. Off the top of my head, you'd think that, again, 10 people in a driving school classroom could get going sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, would the same go for driving hours, like when you have to go out with the instructor and get your driving, you know, out on the road? Would that be the same, or is that going to be different?
You know, obviously, that's a little more closer personal contact, mm-hmm. right? A little tougher to socially distance. So, again, go to that site. And, frankly, Melissa, today we are releasing the entire plan that's going to go online. So you can get all of our current thinking. Our current thinking is not permanent thinking. Things are changing all the time with COVID. At least you know what our thinking is right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a great update. I was going to add, that was going to be my next question, which was what are we looking forward to in the day ahead? What are you announcing? So that's good to know. So there's like a website that people will be able to go to where they can see mapping out where they could find where they kind of fit in the plans?
That's right. DECD, I think it is. DECD.org.
Okay, that's a great update. We appreciate that. And then last question actually having to do with driving, just because I know I get calls on this almost daily. Any updates on the DMV, when that's going to start opening back up? I know that we just saw an extension for licenses and things like that, but any idea when DMV is looking to open back up?
I think we have two of the branches open now, probably a couple more in the medium term. But as you point out, Melissa, exactly, we've just extended the period of time for renewals and things just to make it less imperative you actually have to go to a DMV. And you know you can do most of this now online as well. So we are trying to keep people from showing up at the DMV a little bit longer.
All right. No, I appreciate that. And Governor, I'm sure you saw all across the country, there were some states that I would say made the grade and others that just did not with Memorial Day weekend. How do you think Connecticut fared with beaches opening back up, state parks and all of that, social distancing still? How does it sound like we did?
Well, I think you asked the question right. I mean, you saw that water park at the Ozarks, you know, and thousands of people, or at least hundreds of people partying. You know, 500 bars were cited for crowding down in Houston, Texas. And I think the people of Connecticut are really smart. The weather maybe helped a little bit as well. So there was less crowding, less jostling in our beaches. Our parks, you're right, they were open, but they had to close down usually by midday or so just because the crowds were there. There were a few outliers, but I think generally people follow the protocol. But I'm also aware that we got to continue to methodically open up and give people a hope that we're doing this in a safe way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so sorry to throw this at you, Governor, but I just got an email in from Nancy. She was asking about the unemployment calls. I don't know if there's still like a backup, but is there, she says, a better number to call? She says she's tried for 3 weeks to connect to somebody about her unemployment and has been unsuccessful.
Yeah, obviously online is by far the best way to do it. There's also 211, which is an emergency line. Send in an email if you can. Just say, here's my situation. Maybe they can get back to you. All that said, you know, given the flood of unemployment claims, we're one of the fewer states that are actually paying for the PUE, the, you know, self-employed. But there still is a backlog. We're doubling the number of people again in the call service center. You know what shocked me, Melissa? They shut down the call service center at Department of Labor 4.5 years ago. They just shut it down.
Wait, really? I didn't know that.
Not beginning to anticipate, my God, what happens in the next recession.
Wow.
And this is one heck of a recession.
Yes, yes. You said it correctly there, that's for sure. Governor Lamont, thank you so much for checking in with us. And I know we're going to keep talking to you on Friday mornings. I'm not sure if we're able to double up this week with you. But if we do, we'll talk to you Friday. If not, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Melissa. Give my best to Tony.
I will. Thank you.